the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to The Dina and Greg Show with Dina Martinez and Greg Potter, only on LA Talk Radio.
Betsy, have you ever had an affair with anybody with missing limbs or anything?
Not that I can remember, Juanita.
I once had an affair with a man with only one testicle.
Now who's to judge? Who's a saint and who's a sinner? Lord, it's tough enough to trudge from brunch to dinner. We seek the light of truth between our white lies. We sleep away our youth under tattletale skies.
Now who's to say? Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to the Dina and Greg Show.
You know what that reminds me of, right? When she's talking, it reminds me of going to Vegas last year for your birthday and conversing with you and Tara in the rental car on the way about
oh my God,
amputee porn.
Nice. Well, I'm Dina Martinez.
And I'm Greg Potter.
And wow, it's a sordid day.
It is. Kind of a sordid weekend, actually.
Well, tell me more about your sordid weekend, Greg. I'm trying to find a balance with this right now. Okay.
Well,
So, tell me about your whole week. How's everything been going?
The week has been fantastic. We'll go with fantastic.
How?
The beginning of the week just flew. It really flew this week. And I don't think I saw you at all besides a Friday.
Before Friday. We saw each other for a little bit.
Yeah, but anyway, it just flew and I got some stuff done and then got into the weekend and that all went to shit.
Nice.
We went out Thursday night. I've got some friends in from Wisconsin and we had a good time and went and whooped it up.
Whooped it up.
It needs to be gayed out.
It needs to be
a little bit gayer. So whooped. We whooped it up. And had dragged you out for a little bit. And that was supposed to be a quick little Gold Coast adventure. And it turned into, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I've got to get up and go to work by 6 o'clock.
I don't know how you did it. I luckily didn't have to work
out
that
of my
day,
ass. I pulled it out of my ass. But then Friday, I went to work, got done, and I was going to go home and take a nap. But then I got a text. I got a text from my friend Dina Martinez. Well,
did you get a text? Did I text you?
And she said in her text.
Oh, my Lord.
She said, paintball tonight? Laser tag? And then I was like, what the fuck? Why is Dina Martinez texting me laser tag? She just had her wisdom teeth taken out. And then you text some other text, and then LOL, and then called me with the gauze in your mouth, all drugged up. And then I got scolded by your roommate, Drew. Why are you talking? Greg Potter, she cannot talk right now. What the hell? This is really loud.
Is it? I can't hear myself, but
anyway.
You're funny.
And so Drew's screaming at me through your phone, and I'm laughing. And then he calls me back in his phone. He's like, are you working right now? What are you doing? I'm thinking I'm going home to take a fucking nap because I'm tired. I came and got your ass, which you answered the door and you're like, how long have you been here?
Well, okay. This is the whole thing. But okay. So I got my wisdom teeth out this morning. Friday afternoon, actually, at 2 o'clock. So I had my wisdom teeth out and, you know, I went in. I was really nervous about it because I needed to do it for a long time and I just hadn't. So I went in, I got my wisdom teeth out. The guy's like, this is what's shitty. My mom and I both have like really deep veins, which means that when they're looking for an IV or something, it generally takes a long time for them to find a vein. So he's putting an IV in my hand and he keeps saying, okay, there's going to be a pinch. There's going to be another pinch. There might be another pinch. I have a pinch here. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And that was a Russian accent. Maybe it's not.
I loved it. Thank you.
So he goes, you might feel pinch. Okay. That sucked. But okay. So I'm sitting here and I have like four holes in my hand and a bruise on one side of my hand near my thumb, above my thumb. And then two holes above my, what is this finger?
Your
not the end, but
your ring finger,
my ring finger, and then
the two where I'm like, did a vampire miss?
And then he right, and then he tried to put it in my in the crook of my arm. Well, God, Jesus! Luckily, I was in a Zen place. I don't know if it was like they had gas on me too or something, but it hurt.
Gas the tranny, gas her.
I seriously, it hurt, but I was still at this place where I was like. I was kind of zenny, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna transcend this pain, kind of like I do with my laser, when they zzz on my face and other places. So, and then the next thing I know, I'm out, and then I wake up, and then I'm like, because I really wanted to go laser tag on Friday night with some people that you know we talk about a lot. Because we have this weird obsession with these people and we want to follow them and stalk
them. This group
of people. Like, they're the popular kids, okay, right now? And we want to hang out with them, but I couldn't go to karaoke on Tuesday night.
Or trivia
on Tuesday night or Wednesday night?
Thursday, I thought. Thursday. Whatever night.
Well, I could have Thursday. If I would have thought about trivia being on Thursday, I'd have gone.
I didn't think about it until just this moment.
Thanks.
Anyway.
So, and then laser
Rich,
tag.
You guys are the popular kids.
Yeah, we want to hang out with you guys. So,
fast forward to Friday afternoon, though.
As soon as I come out, I'm all text. Let's play laser tag. Because I'm thinking, I feel good. I've got this weird gauze in my mouth, but I feel good. Let's go laser tag, right? Obviously not such a good idea.
So after I pick you up and we drop off the prescription, I'm not even going to talk about how we meandered through Target. But I'm going to talk about at Starbucks while waiting for your prescription to get finished. I pay for our stuff and I go over to you.
Thank you,
I'm like, oh, grandma, how are you doing? Because she looked like my Ukrainian grandmother and come to America to visit.
Because you're so Ukrainian, first of all.
But you looked like... Seriously, ready to tradition.
I have no idea. I guess that's from Fiddler on the Roof, yes. Or something like that. Okay,
you look like you just got off the boat.
Well, I had,
and you were not having it, and you were not ready to speak English.
I was not wanting anyone to see my swollen face, especially not TMZ, because you know they follow me around. And I told them, I was like, on one of my Facebook profiles. Post was like, don't go to 1125 Beverly Drive today at 2:00 in the afternoon and take pictures of Dina Martinez from TMZ. So anyway, and they didn't. Boo. So yeah, I look like a little Muslim woman walking through Target.
Yes, I wasn't even gonna bring up the burqa, but
I just had to cover my face up. I got a lot of looks though. I wonder if they were like, is she famous and just trying to hide, or is she Muslim?
Or are they just like, oh, that poor gay boy has got to deal with that tranny.
Yeah, right.
So, but that was my weekend. Yesterday, though, we went to Venice. I took the boys up to Sunset Ranch, which is my new favorite place to hike. Then went up to Venice, took them there. And then we went to Christine's new apartment in Long Beach, which is super cute. Had a good time.
Good.
I was so hungover from Friday night. So hungover. Like... God, I'm turning 30, not 20. And I need to remember this.
I was on drugs. My lip still was numb that morning. And I'm trying to like, that sucks. I was eating like fucking, what do you call it?
Macaroni and cheese.
Like a bird, like a... And today was really embarrassing because my face feels like it's like 40 times bigger than it really is. And the weirdest thing, though, I'm still going to talk about this because it creeps me out. There's a string, you know, from a suture in the back of my... that keeps getting caught in between my two back teeth. And I'm like, ah! It's the texture. It freaks me out.
You made all of our listeners cringe.
Good.
Including... your co-host.
That makes me happy.
So, yeah. And then today, Christine, after she drunkly arranged brunch today, we got your brunch, order our food. We're into like three crafts of mimosas. And I'm like, okay, after this is done, I got to go work, you know. And she looks at me and she's like, I drove up here from Long Beach. I am not just going to have brunch and leave. You be going out. So I had to go out.
Good. I couldn't because I have been on drugs, but that, and plus I'm swollen. But that's good. So Greg decided today, this afternoon, to cause a scene in the coffee shop.
Oh, I didn't even know I did it.
So I'm sitting there. We're both sitting there on our computers doing some research, and I have my earphones in, but nothing's playing. So it's not like, I mean, nothing's really impeding my hearing. And so Greg's reading out, in France, this transgender woman and blah, blah, blah. And everybody starts looking around. And I'm like, maybe he thinks he's trying to speak louder.
It was not on purpose.
I took my earphone out, still just as loud. And I'm like, he's so loud.
I blame it on the liquid.
The liquids. I called my mom a smartass. So, I've been on drugs all weekend. And I'm like, my mom texts me. She goes, so, did you get your teeth cut out or did you get them pulled out? And I was like, well, the wisdom teeth, they cut them out. And she goes, how many did you get taken out? How many did you get cut out? And by that time, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm dead to the world. I was already kind of like subconscious.
What the hell is your mom doing up at 1 o'clock in the morning?
I don't know.
Because that's 3 o'clock in the morning, Texas.
Pretty much. Okay, maybe it was earlier than that. Leave me alone. So I texted her. Stop harassing me. I texted her and I'm like, I got them cut out. And she goes, the next morning, she goes, key words. How many? I was like, really? I'm not liking you too much right now. And I said, two, smartass. And that's the last I've heard from her. So I think my mom might be mad at me.
Oh, Teresa, you call in right now. Just call us. Call us.
She's
Teresa.
So going to call in. I think she got a kick out of that I look like a Muslim woman walking through the that Target.
Well, you told her that I was running away from you.
And laughing at me. And I said, when I get my first facelift, Greg is not allowed to be around me.
That was
she
hilarious.
Was really excited.
That was
that
one of the highlights of my weekend was taking care of your tranny ass through Target.
Oh, I'm gonna get a little sore and I may not talk as much, but apparently I talk a lot anyway. So,
oh yes, some of my regulars at my work, they come in Wednesday morning and like, we heard the show. She talk a lot, and they were not talking about me.
It's a radio talk show. I don't understand.
She talk a lot.
She's supposed to talk a lot.
She'd be a talker. Okay, I'm done. You're pretty. You can talk and you're pretty.
I'm pretty even with a 20 times bigger face today.
You're still pretty.
Thanks.
So anyway, where do you want to go? You want to talk about... I want
to go to Paris.
I know you do. But let's talk about something where... Let's go to Paris. Where I want to go. I love you, Philip Morris. I just got introduced to this movie coming up. Ewan McGregor, I guess, is naked in it, which is always lovely. But it looks like a cross between Brokeback Mountain and I Love You, Man. I don't know what to think about it. Jim Carrey, come on, really? I can't take him seriously, even in The Truman Show.
I can take him seriously. He's a great dramatic actor when he's actually being a dramatic actor. But I hate the whole idea of this film is kind of slightly offensive to me. It looks like they're taking all the bad stereotypes about gay people and playing off of those and making them worse. And I'm not really excited about it. It really kind of is, it annoys me. And I'm not normally one who's like, stop making fun of stereotypes, because I like stereotypes, you know?
Because we were laughing earlier at the commentators from Australia.
And that was funny to me. But this, to me, just looks more offensive than anything. Yeah. So, But, you know, whatever.
We'll find out. They make out. And Ewan McGregor's
that's hot.
Naked.
That's hot.
I guess we got that going for us.
I'm going to look at me. I'm like, that's hot. Do you have something else?
I was going to say, do you want to talk about Fashion Week at all? Maybe Mark Bauer?
Yes. There was a fierce Mark Bauer video from Fashion Week. Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week this past week. Sickening. Did you see it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, this video was sickening. It wasn't the actual show, which kind of disturbed me, but it was kind of hot. So it was his whole line on a video screen, and the line was really interesting, really cohesive, very beautiful, obviously. It's Mark Bauer. But very interesting with the big pointy shoulders, and you can really see how, like, the Lady Gaga fashion is starting kind of that idea is kind of, in a lot of ways, really influencing the major designers right now, too. So that's really kind of interesting. And still with the 80s themes.
It's Mark. I'm not completely educated with Mark Bauer. Is he completely couture? Or, okay. No.
He's designer, obviously. Okay. He's got some great stuff. Anyway. So
speaking of fashion in New York, in the Times today, there was a New York magazine or the New York Times magazine. They had their photos of everything going on with the Oscars and movie or actors this year. And there's a brilliant, if you get a chance, look through them. The lead in Precious has a gorgeous picture. And Emily Blunt from Young Victoria, she has got a great picture. And you just see how sassy and how lovable she is. But my favorite is Julianne Moore and from The Single Man. I can't think of his name
Ford,
right now.
Tom Ford?
Tom Ford's movie, but it's...
Oh, I don't know.
The British actor, and he was in...
Oh, yeah.
And...
he was your boyfriend 1 week.
For 1 week, yes. For a couple days. Anyway, that's a brilliant picture of the two of them. I'll think of it in a second.
Not really. I'm not a big fan of Julianne Moore.
How can you not be a fan of Julie? She's
not.
Striking. That's why I love her.
Sometimes,
so much.
Yes.
Even when she looks like shit, she's striking. Her face.
She looks like she's been struck sometimes. That's mean. I was not trying to be a bitch. I don't think she's hideous. I just am not a big fan of her. Okay.
Why can I not think of his name?
Like, Diane von Furstenberg's line was sickening. I really liked it.
Fantastic.
That was just.
Yay. So
that's all I've seen. I didn't get to see a lot because I was busy watching My Life in Ruins.
You did revisit, though,
which I loved. My Life in Ruins, by the way, if you haven't seen it, with Nia Vardalos and her husband Ian Gomez, and it was such a charming movie. And it didn't do real well at the box office, but it is very cheesy romantic comedy, and I love that shit.
I didn't want to go near it because it just looked like my big fat Greek wedding all over
it again. Was really cute.
What is...
Go ahead. You were going to talk about something.
Well, I was just going to say you also watched Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Yes, I revisited Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, and it just reminded me of... like how bad 80s TV movies were. And how far Christina Applegate has come in her acting. She's so amazing now. She wasn't then.
I spent some time after, because I didn't want to go to bed when I got home from Long Beach last night. I spent some time and I watched the deleted scenes from Tu Wong Fu. Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. And brilliant. Just the stuff that they didn't keep in there. Hilarious.
I didn't see it.
It's worth looking at, like taking 20 minutes and looking at.
Is it on the YouTube?
A little bit. It's not on the YouTube. Well, it could be. I didn't look.
Where did you see it?
I have the DVD. Of course I have the DVD.
I have the DVD, but I don't remember.
I have
the
gay on my face. Speaking of stuff.
I was going to tell you to wipe that off and that was pretty gross. But
speaking of stuff that doesn't come off after Mickey's on Friday night. The Mickey's, you know, the thing, the...
Yes, the stamp.
The stamp, it would not wash off. And I couldn't get icky off my wrist because it was just icky. Not
is that
Mickey's,
what it said?
But it said icky.
It said, I didn't even look at it. But the oral hygienist was like, the girl who was getting me ready for surgery was like, did you go out last night? And I was like, yes. Did you have anything to eat this morning? No. Did you have anything to drink this morning? No. You went out last night. I'm like, I know. Anyway, so crazy news.
In Georgia, with bated breath.
In Georgia last week, and on Valentine's Day, nothing says I love you more than, you know, getting high heels. But this wasn't a I love you. That bitch was assaulting that man with her high heels. So at the Waffle House, this guy's eating with his girlfriend. Let's take my girlfriend to the Waffle House.
On Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's Day. When his ex-girlfriend, apparently, which is the baby, his baby's mama, and some other girl came in to Waffle House and started assaulting him with high heels. She's getting arrested.
I hope so.
Like,
but it's funny.
They have better been hookah heel stilettos. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, that was a Valentine's Day highlight.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Aw. I still have chocolate from Valentine's Day. It's ridiculous. Anyway, that's what I got.
That's all?
That's all I got.
Excellent.
So today, something happened on Friday that I'm really annoyed that we all had to suffer through it. But the Wall Street Journal this morning had a really funny article dealing with it. Fucking Tiger Woods. making the entire country stop on Friday so he can apologize for being a man whore.
Wah, wah.
If we had to do that for every man, we...
So, well, I was annoyed. I just, his mother did not look happy.
Uh-uh.
She looked kind of annoyed. I'm like, would you really want to say, I fuck a lot of people in front of your mother, first of all? And I'm sorry that I fucked a lot of people other than my wife.
The article's funny because it talks about how he didn't have one label on him at all. At all.
But his Nike representative was there crying through the whole thing.
Of course. Of course. And the group was completely picked, chosen by him, of course.
Of course.
It was by his at a PGA-owned country club, of course. Colin Firth, by the way. Sorry it took so long.
You're so random.
Colin Firth.
Awesome. So today is Assorted Lives Day. We've got Rosemary and Newell Alexander. And... we have, they played Dr. Eve Bollinger and, why am I blanking out right now? I'm such a dingbat. Thanks for helping me here, Greg.
I'm sorry. I don't have it up
and
in the morning.
Wardell. Sorry, and Wardell.
I'm the king of dingbats.
From Sorted Lives. And David Calgill and David Steen. David Calgill played Odell and David Steen played GW in the series. So... you guys need to get your questions in for them because Newell and Rosemary are just about to come in and join us. And so we're really excited.
It's going to be fun. It's you guys hear how fun. It is when Ann Walker gets in here. So,
ooh, yeah. Lord. And the phone number that you're going to call is 818-602-4929. Once again, that number is 818-602-4929. Do you have anything else before we go to a musical interlude?
I just want to go over the, we mentioned a second ago, the Australian, never mind. I don't even want to talk about it. I was going to say the Australian announcers on the Olympics talking about the figure skaters and how that Prince himself wouldn't even wear the outfit that they were wearing and then referred
That's
to
funny.
Brokeback Mountain gone bad.
I think it's funny that these straight guys are all of a sudden are like fashion commentary, you know, on at the Olympics, right?
Yes, for figure skating.
Yes.
Good for you.
There you go. Thanks.
Way to get your minds out there. Expanding your horizons.
Expanding my breast size.
And I just want to bring up one serious thing. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the gay couple in Kenya that got married. And now the uprising in Kenya is really bad, that there is a anti-gay sentiment going. They're going door to door. Anyone who's a little bit more flamboyant, they are bringing them out and beating them. And it's not a good situation. So pay attention to what's going on in Kenya And we'll let you know if there's what we can do, if there's anything to help. But know that, you know, be thankful again that we're here in the U.S.
Send your love and thoughts to these people. Also, you know, I was just reading on NJ.com for New Jersey News that there's a transgender woman who she's allying with the ACLU, and they're suing the Newark Police Department for harassment because this poor lady was stopped several times. Not even what it appears like is that she wasn't really stopped for any reason, and the cops would joke around about, you know, her sexual orientation and calling her, you know, like slurs. And then another couple of cops were making a joke about her wig and had a bet on her gender, you know, who was going to guess her gender correctly. And it's just really hateful and uncalled for. And I feel so blessed to be here in LA and where I am, because I feel very protected and I feel very accepted and loved in a lot of ways, in this area. And so just my thoughts go to her. Our thoughts go to all the people who, even in the U.S., who experience prejudice and discrimination like this. And it's just horrific and shouldn't be happening in today's day and age. Just live and let live and let people, you know, have wonderful lives. So, yeah. Get your darling fingers ready, everybody.
Okay, what are we going to listen to? Tell me.
Well, tomorrow night, Ben Roman is going to be premiering his song, Girl. But right now, we're going to start off with his first song called Otra Vez, which is a remake of a Janet Jackson song. And you guys can find the video on YouTube under Roman Online. Okay? And This is Ben Roman with Otra Vez.
From a friend today, and she said you were in town. Suddenly the memories came back to me in my mind. How can I be strong? I've asked myself time and time. I said that I'll never fall in love with you again. A wounded heart you gave, my soul you took away. Good intentions you had many, I know you did. I come from a place that hurts, and God knows how I've cried. And I never want to return, never fall. Making love to you, oh, it felt so good and oh, so right. How can I be strong? I've asked myself time and time. I've said that I'll never fall in love with you again. No. So here we are alone again. Didn't think it'd come to this. And to know it all began with just a little kiss. I've come too close to happiness to have it swept away. Don't think I can take the pain, never fall again. Otra vez, 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 otra v
you again. God knows I do love you
Hey, this is Chris Salvatore. Thank you so much for listening to the Dina and Greg Show. They are sexy bitches.
Hello.
Hi, welcome back.
The Janet Jackson in the background. What's going on?
I was trying to stop it. That was Ben Roman again, and he's a real good friend of the Dina and Greg Show. And
now we are introducing Rosemary and Newell Alexander.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Hello. How are you two?
We're good.
Good. So you guys played in, you were in Sordid Lives, the series, which we're obviously, you know, very excited to have you in for that.
Yeah, we were in the play previous to that. And of course, the movie.
The movie.
Also. The movie. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you guys went through it the whole way. That's
the whole gambit.
Yeah. We went through it from the day that Del called me on the phone, probably 6 months or more before we started rehearsing the play, and said, Rosemary, I have an idea for this wacky therapist. Will you take your bra off on stage? And I said, absolutely.
There seems to be a lot of twisting your arm in that one.
He didn't tell me I was going to be in my tidy whities, however.
So that was a surprise for you. Nice.
Oh, God.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
So, Flurs, I love that you two have been through this and you're married. Did you guys get married in the process, or were you married before this all started?
Oh, we've been together for 40-ish years, and we got involved in the whole Sordid Lives process because we were Del Shore's former mother and father-in-law.
Shut up.
Well, I introduced Del to my daughter.
Okay.
Actually.
Newell performed in Del's first play called Cheatin'.
Okay.
And our daughter at the time was working as a publicist. And so he introduced them and said, well, maybe our daughter can help you figure out how to promote the show. And it was, you know, because it was like Del's first time out with a play. So we went through them getting married, and you know, they were together like 5 years, and then they started having babies and had two children. And then about 9 years later, my daughter came over and said, Rosemary, I need to talk to you. Sit down. And I thought, oh my God, she's going to tell me she has cancer. You know, I mean, I'm just imagining
everything,
all the horrible things that a daughter comes to tell her mother. And she said, Del is sexually attracted to men. And I said, no. And she said, Rosemary, think about it. And as I thought about it, I thought, and I remembered how beautifully he did the girl's hair, stereotypes. And he was always in the kitchen helping me cook, and we'd sing harmony while we're working on Thanksgiving dinner. And I particularly remember one night when David Cowgill, who's going to be in later, mm-hmm. David and his wife and Del and our daughter were like great friends in those early years. And Del said, oh, we were out with the Cowgills. We were driving down Sunset. And he said, we saw this bunch of gays on the street, and they were all laughing. And he said, I wonder what they do. And I, for some reason, when my daughter said, think about it, that curiosity,
that moment
when I heard that he really wondered what they did. And at the time, I sort of thought, well, I can imagine, but I don't really care. You know? Not interesting to me. I'm wondering what he's going to do.
He meaning me.
Yes.
Okay. So you were wondering at the same time, then.
Please, you know, Del called, and you know, I of course had heard it, mm-hmm. you know, and Del called, and I said, hey, you know, stuff happens, you know, and but life goes on, you know,
yeah.
you just gotta handle it all. We both, I worked in the arts almost my whole entire mm-hmm. life. I was an art director before, and I used to dress windows,
mm-hmm.
and I never found gay people to be anything less than delightful, wonderful people. You
right.
know, so geez, what, you know, where's the harm here?
Right.
You know,
right.
of course, it, you know, it destroys a marriage, but.
Yeah.
What the hell?
But the marriage wasn't working anyway, obviously, because that's a big obstacle.
It kind of is, isn't
for
it?
For a heterosexual marriage. But, you know, the nice thing is they, Del and our daughter Kelly are both very smart, very loving people. They had two little girls that mm-hmm. they both adore. And they just committed themselves to being good parents to those girls.
Mm-hmm.
And to, you know, Kelly, at the time she told me that he was gay, said, she said, Del's worried about what Newell's going to say, because Newell is Wardell. He's an mm-hmm. old cowboy, you know.
Right.
And she said, and the thing that he's most concerned about is that he doesn't want to lose his place in our family. So, you know.
That's
I said, well,
so
it's no problem for me, because anybody who knows Del, he's an amazing, wonderful, talented, fun person
yeah.
to be around, and you would never want to chase him away, you know, I mean, not for being who he is, you
yeah.
know, certainly not. So I was fine. I told Newell, and Newell says, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it, we just sort of went on as before, but they had two households, and...
Right on.
And those, your grandchildren now have just even more love.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like there's, even, yeah.
Yeah, our, in fact, wonderful. Our granddaughter Caroline, they were little at the time. This has been a lot of years ago, but Caroline's 17 now. And last year when the Prop 8 was on the decks, Caroline mm-hmm. did a commercial that ran on YouTube that got something like 30,000 hits. Talking about my family, and she showed pictures. This is me, this is my sister, this is my dad, and this is my stepdad. And she, you know, laid the whole thing out and said, so please, for the sake of my family, vote no on Prop 8. And of course, she was thrilled to get that many hits.
Right.
But devastated, you know, at the results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Del tells a story about her that she said, I can't even enjoy President Obama's victory because I'm just so bummed about. Proposition
yeah.
8.
Yeah.
And she came to him later, I guess a couple of days later, and she said, Dad, everything's going to be okay. She said, all those old people are going to die.
You know? I'm sorry.
Yeah, she said, the kids don't care.
No, they're all going to die,
yeah.
and then, you know, they'll run it the way they want to run it.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Evolution.
I know, right?
Exactly.
So did either one of you guys see Southern Baptist Sissies, not to put you on the spot?
Sadly, I didn't.
Oh.
And I almost had the chance when I was in Dallas.
That was
right.
a good
yeah.
introduction in Dallas.
That was great.
Too.
We
yeah.
had so much fun
I was
in Dallas.
So sad that I missed it. But, yeah, I didn't.
It's a whole different tone of play from Sordid Lives. I mean, Del wrote Sordid Lives when he had just first come out. And so he mm-hmm. was still sort of dancing around, you know. But Southern
yeah.
Baptist Sissies is his pain about all the stuff that he went through,
yeah.
you know. So
and we're both in
I
that.
Haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
So
well, when you get a chance, it's such a good play. We're hoping they'll you know raise the money and make a film of it.
I would love it.
We were a couple of years ago. We were in fact before we did Sordid Lives the series. We were. They had set up production. I had had wig fittings, and they had made the schedule, sent out, you know, everybody was lined up, had all the stars. And then like 2 days before I was supposed to go in and do my wardrobe fittings and rehearse, mm-hmm. somebody withdrew some of their money and it got canceled. So
Ugh.
We were devastated because it's
imagine.
Just... Especially Newell, because he plays the preacher in it. And
there's a great role in there. I mean, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, oh, when they make this film, you know, the Academy Awards could possibly be in there for you. And I said, yeah, just like the Winter Olympics, I'll more than likely be there too.
I love it.
So we know what our limits are here.
Right.
So yeah. You're just going to Vancouver is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Your flight leaves in an hour.
This is a rough time of the year for actors like us, mm-hmm. because you know, all the attention is on all the big stars and all the, you know,
right,
all of that stuff, and it's hard for little guys like us to be ignored. Wait. Year after year after year.
I'm not a big star. This is news to me.
Oh, it's amazing. It's just amazing.
And in addition to that, the whole economy and the way that the industry's been hit out here.
Sure.
It's got to be tough.
Oh, it's rough. It's rough on the actors, especially with all the runaway production. I just ran away and did one in Arizona called The Gun Down. Western with Peter Coyote and William Shockley.
Oh, fun.
You know, it's a straight-ahead Western.
Right.
Shot
on
in a little town called Gammon's Gulch, which is north of Tucson, in the middle of nowhere.
Fun.
Yeah. It was amazing fun. Good. You know, to go out and play guns. You know?
It's, right.
It's been a while since we've had a good Western-themed movie, too.
It has been.
Now, I think about it, like...
Right.
Here's one
310
coming.
To Yuma was the last one.
Here's one coming. The Coen brothers are remaking True Grit.
Shut up.
Really?
Yeah. And fun. I have this Coen brothers story. I've read for him a couple of times, and I felt got close. You know, I mean, you get a call back, and you get to talk with them, and, you know, these are good guys, actually.
Right.
And I thought I had this one because, as you guys see, Wardell never wears a beard. I have a beard now that I just came from the gun down. But we thought, oh, my God, this is fabulous. I didn't shave my beard for commercial reasons. And I got a shot at True Grit. Uh-huh. You know, everything's lining up. About 2 years ago, I read for not named, an untitled Steven Spielberg project that turned out to be The Crystal Skull, and they cast me in it. I read the speech, the Easter Bunny speech from Southern Baptist Sissies, and they taped it, and they called the next day, and they said, oh, my God, Steven Spielberg thinks you're wonderful. He wants to book you, you know, so they booked me in this film. So then a couple of weeks later, they called and said, the role they booked you in is too small. They want to give you a bigger role, so they booked me in another role to go to New Haven, Connecticut and shoot. So it didn't work.
Oh.
They called and said the role got so big that they had to hire a British actor for the role, a guy who won an Academy Award.
James Broadbent.
They hired James Broadbent for the role. So they came down and said, Spielberg says he owes you. I can't even say his name. He said he owes you one. Steven owes you one. Now they paid me, for the booking and all that. But I didn't work on the film. So this movie, True Grit, is produced by Steven Spielberg, right? So
right.
I told the brothers, the Coen brothers, I said, Steven Spielberg owes me one, boys. You know, that old thing. They didn't cast me, however.
Damn. So he still owes you one.
Yeah, he still owes you one.
Are you listening, Steven?
But, I want these boys to know I haven't shaved my beard just in case something happens. Down the line, I'm still ready to go.
There's still an opening.
And it's been an almost daily battle with our commercial agent, who calls and says, have you shaved your beard? Have you shaved your beard? And he goes, no. And he said, well, will you shave it? And he said, well, yeah, if something comes up and somebody's seriously interested, I will, for a job, you know. Yeah. So he went on a call a couple of weeks ago for Miracle Whip and went with his beard. And darned if he didn't get a call back last week, and he booked it with his beard.
And you know, the terrible thing is I had a nightmare last night that I shaved my beard, and I went, oh no, now they won't want me on Miracle Whip, but I have 3 days to grow it back. I swear to God, it was like a nightmare.
And know? In your dream, it grows back as like a chia pet.
Yeah.
Oh God, I have a nightmare of it growing back.
That's funny.
I'm like, what?
So I want to know where that line is. Like, where's the line that says, okay, the part's this big. Oh, it crossed it. Now we've got to get this a different actor.
No, like, it's the investors generally. Okay. You know, I mean, the larger the role, the bigger the name that they want in the role.
You know. Call me next time. I'll write them a letter.
Yeah, well, hey, you can just use mine and sign your name to it.
Okay.
It's a painful thing, you know, when Dell's second play, Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will, I created a role in the original show, and it took off. It ran for 2 years. We had Critics' Choice reviews from every drama critic in the, you know, the Southland. And but when they got ready to do the movie, I mean, luckily that it came around that somebody did want to do it, and they got the money and
MGM,
and you know, the decision is like, we're all like, oh my God, you know, is anybody from the play who's made this happen gonna get to do the movie?
Right.
And of course, a couple of people did. Patrika Darbo and the old lady who played Mama Wheelis, Molly McClure. But everybody else, you know, the roles went to names.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, you just kind of have to get used to that. I did my best to make peace with it because I was so happy for Dell.
Yeah.
And I did my very best to make friends with Beverly D'Angelo, who played my role and did a wonderful job.
And in hopes that, you know, there was a way that you could sneak something in her food and take over the part.
Oh,
and
it, you know, the opposite, actually. Rosemary went to and gave her a bracelet.
Aww.
that I had worn in the show.
In the show. I played a really trashy character, Evelita Turnover, of whom everybody said she's trash, white trailer trash.
Yay!
And I wore real short cutoffs and a tube top hanging real low, and I had a fuchsia beehive hairdo a la the B-52s, you know, this giant hair with like a big rooster comb, and I wore a whole bunch of silver bracelets up one arm, and I was always shaking them in people's faces. And so I took one and gave it to Beverly to, you know, wish her
to inspire.
Yeah, to wish her as much fun and joy as I'd had doing the role.
I want to see pictures of you in this outfit, in this getup.
I've got them.
Oh,
I've
she
got
does.
Them. I had a 12 pack in those days.
What is that?
I've got one in my refrigerator. Funnier.
No, she had on these little jean short shorts that look like they
still
were,
inspires you. Know,
they were hardly even painted on. You know.
If you guys could see the gleam in his
eye. I know,
eye
right?
Now.
Right?
Oh.
Oh, she was hot.
It's fun to play trash.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
I play it every day. So, are you both from Texas?
I'm from Kentucky.
I'm from Texas.
You're from Texas? Sure. From,
yeah. But we came here from Dallas.
Right.
Rosemary had moved to Dallas.
Yeah, okay. I married a boy out of college and moved to Dallas and lived there for 10 years before I met Newell and realized what a dreadful mistake I had made.
People often find out that they make mistakes when they're in Dallas.
That first marriage, that practice marriage is always a tough one.
Practice marriage.
We were both married one time.
Nice.
Prior,
you know. Yeah, it's hard. Relationships are tough, you know.
Well, you guys seem to be doing good.
Well, we had really bad ones the first time around. Both of us did, and we lived together 14 years before we got married because we were just a little jumpy about rushing into something.
We were both real skittish.
You know?
Yeah. We're not doing that again.
And we had 5 children that we raised together: 2 of mine, 3 of his. And in 1983, Neil Young invited Newell to go out on the road with him on his trans solo tour and be his opening act, doing a live television show backstage at the concert, broadcast onto a big screen on the stage.
Oh, right on.
So Newell opened the show and filled the intermission and then closed the show. And suddenly I realized that I'm in this house with 5 children, 3 of them are his, and we're not legally married. And I thought, oh my God, if anything happened to him on the road and I had to try to fight to get his Screen Actors Guild benefits and, yeah. you know, the help that I could get for, to raise those children. So he was soaking in the bathtub his last day at home, and I had an audition, and I had on my trench coat ready to run out the door, and I stuck my head in the bathroom, and I said, you know what, we can get married at noon today down at City Hall. And he says, okay.
I love it.
So we went down to City Hall, and there was a chapel up on one of the floors, and there was a judge there who would marry us, you know, and so we got it all together, and he said, oh, we'll go up to the chapel, and Noel says, oh, this is fine. So we're standing in the hall. So I said, do you mind if I take off my trench coat? So I took off my trench coat.
And stop a woman, like, would you be our witness here? And she goes, oh, okay.
So we gave her $20, and she stood there and witnessed it and signed the thing, and we went home, and our kids were pissed.
Oh, I'm one of those kids. I got mine in an email from my dad and my stepmom.
Oh, no.
Completely.
Well, they wanted a party. They all wanted, the girls all wanted a big dress, and, the, you know, they wanted to have a big party. So they're like, they still haven't forgiven us for that.
Yeah, we got married, and I jumped on a plane, and I was doing a show at Madison Square Garden that night.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Oh. See, I'm planning for the big wedding. I'm going to get, if I ever get to wear this wedding dress, I'm wearing a huge wedding dress. I'm like, it's planned. It's huge.
Huge.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Just do it. Get it done.
Well, in whose eyes are you married? I mean, my God, the problem I have is, you know, why the state even has to be involved in it in any way.
Right.
You know, I mean, but that's just me. And why, you know, why the state couldn't recognize a same-sex marriage is totally beyond me. I mean, what are they thinking?
I know.
Who cares?
Well, and it comes down to what you were saying with the whole reason, your whole motivation behind it is, you know, you wouldn't have been able to take care of each other in that way. And for people that spend their lives together, no matter whether they're same-sex or not, they should be able to have the same rights as any married couple
when they
do that. So that's really...
Yeah. We lived together for 14 years, and after 6 or 7 or 8 years, I mean, it just became kind of a non-issue for us. Mm-hmm. People say, aren't you going to get married? And we say, you know what, we feel more married than we ever felt when we were married. So we don't really see the point. Mm-hmm. And it was also a tax advantage because each of us could claim head of household.
Right. Nice.
We got to save a little money.
And well, but back then it was really a big deal too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially
in Dallas.
Well, especially
shacking
in Dallas.
Up. See, shacking up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my God, how dare us do that? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you could... Well, I had a friend of mine. He was living with this woman. They're adults and everything. And he said, can you get a truck? He said, because I need to move my stuff. Her parents are coming to visit. And he said, I need to move all my stuff out of our apartment so that they don't know we're living together. And I said, buck up, pal. Get a backbone.
Wasn't that taboo, though? Because, like, my mom and my stepdad, they lived together for 10 years before they finally got married.
And
how old are your parents?
52 and 60.
Yeah, well, I'm 75, so right. This is the old days.
But even
not
when
much younger than you are.
Even like
I'm done talking.
Even because I grew up in a small town just outside of Texas or outside of Dallas. So
what town?
So Salina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh sure.
You know that place?
Sure.
Little tiny thing.
Oh, everybody thinks it's in Kansas.
Yeah, exactly. Or they say saliva, and I say yes, but for sure.
Really?
Yes. So imagine them having a transsexual come out of that town. That's even...
Do they know it?
You know, the funny thing about
Christmas,
it is...
they do.
All of a sudden on Facebook is horrible and amazing at the same time. But, like, all these people are finding me... My old youth director found me and is my friend on Facebook, and I'm like, does he really know who I am?
Baptist Church.
On there? Yeah.
Oh wow. So
First Baptist Church, Salina, Texas.
Yeah.
But I keep meeting all these people from, like, they keep finding me and saying, I think I know you. Do I know you? And then they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh God. But everybody's been really supportive, surprisingly.
Do you want to take a little bit of our song?
As Dr. Eve would say, you have a severe case of homosexuality.
A severe case, right?
I know I got one. So, yeah, let's go back to, let's bring it back to Sordid Lives for a moment. Do you, is that song available?
I don't know where the...
Okay.
We
did have a song that we were going to try to play, but I would love to...
What are your censorship rules here?
Oh, you can fucking say whatever you want to.
Okay, let's just acapella a little bit of this.
Okay.
Del likes to have hymns in his shows and things like this, and this is one that is written by John R. Butler.
You know, there's so much really outrageous, ribald humor in Del's thing, so we try to bring a little spirituality
I love
into
this.
I should have brought our guitar anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, sinner, do not stray. From that straight and narrow way. For the Lord is surely watching what you do. If you approach the devil's den, turn around, don't enter in, lest the hand of the Almighty fall on you. He'll fuck you up. Yes, God will fuck you up. If you dare to disobey his stern command, he'll fuck you up. Don't you know he'll fuck you up? So you better do some praying while you can. And if you want to hear the rest
of
it,
you have to buy a ticket.
Oh, I love it.
It's what's fun, and it sounds a lot better with a guitar, but what's fun is that people are usually drinking before the show, and they're in for all the wild, crazy stuff that Del's going to talk about, and Leslie Jordan, and, you know, and we come out and say we're going to do a spiritual song, and we even one night in the audience, we heard somebody say, oh, God, a hymn.
Oh, boy, they're going like this. Oh,
look. And their eyes start to glaze over, and so then when we get to the first chorus, they scream.
I love it.
And it gets progressively screamier, so great fun.
So you guys have anything Sordid Lives related coming up, or?
We'll be doing some more touring shows. In fact, we're going to do some in Los Angeles. We're going to do here. Del's writing on a new play.
Yay.
And he's going to put that up, so that's going to keep him close to L.A. We're going to San Diego and Palm Springs, I think, are our next two traveling shows.
We went to Atlanta.
During the snow.
Yeah, we were talking to Anne about that.
Yeah. Oh, God. It was actually fun.
Good. I love it.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Fort Lauderdale, Dallas.
Woohoo.
Fun.
Back
places.
To my hometown.
Yeah.
Well, it's so lovely to have you guys in.
Well, thank you.
I'm so happy that you sang your little hymn for
us. I am too.
I loved it.
It builds.
God will fuck you up. He will.
Oh, Lord, I know about that. Well, awesome. We're going to go ahead and take a music break. And thank you once again.
Pleasure. Thank you, Dina. Awesome. Thank you,
Greg. You two are fantastic. And thank you for sharing everything about your stories. Like, that was fantastic. So,
well, our sordid lives.
Yes. Very sordid.
Yes.
Through and through.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go back to a little Ben Roman. How about that?
His new single, correct?
The new single, Girl.
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 Girl, you better play it.
My world, that girl. Let's hear it all, that bitch. She right here. Girl, she's so bad, that girl. She rocks my world, that girl. Let's hear it all, that bitch. She right here. No, I'm the one who owns every groove, and I mean every room she's in. She's never on the move. We'll always get along, so long as you acknowledge this. Don't feel a line too. She sees right through any foolish, dumb bullshit. Please never underestimate, and don't you play any silly games, that's it. Girl, she's so bad, that girl. She rocks my world, that girl. Let's hear it fall, that bitch. She right here. Girl, she's so bad, that girl. She rocks my world, that girl. Let's hear it fall, that bitch. She right here. Her skin is silk smooth, her eyes sparkle like jewels. Her body's banging, she's the shit. Her lips gloss, she's always flossed. Baby, she's the boss.
And do you think you can handle it?
She's so bad, that girl. She rocks my world, that girl. Let's hear it for that bitch. She rang it. Girl, she's so bad, that girl. She rocks my world, that girl. Let's hear it for that bitch. She rang it.
Your ass in bed. She never will. What you see is what you get. Don't you see? She ain't never gonna change. Play by her rules, cause it's a game.
My world, that girl. Let's hear it for that bitch. She rang it. Girl, she's so bad, that girl. She rocks my world, that girl. Let's hear it for that bitch. She rang it. Girl, she's so bad, that girl. She rocks my world, that girl. Let's hear it for that bitch. She rang it.
G-U-R-L. She banging. She rules. She banging. The world.
She's banging. She's banging.
G-U-R-L.
She banging.
She rules.
Who banging? She banging.
Girl.
Hi, I'm Teddy from the Queers of Comedy, and you're listening to the Dina and Greg Show. Woohoo!
All right. That was Ben Roman, and you guys can see him tomorrow night live at the Sassy Show in West Hollywood at Here Lounge. And we're also sponsored by the Sassy Show, so very... Please go out and support them if you're in Los Angeles.
Yes, and welcome back. I'm Greg Potter.
I'm Dina Martinez.
And we've got the Davids from Sordid Lives, the series, here in the studio.
So, hi, guys.
Hey.
David Steen and David Calgill.
Yes.
How are you doing? They just ate at a Mexicano restaurant. So they're like,
ready to take a nap.
So I want to plug this place because I'm really interested. Yes. Casa Vega.
Casa Vega, yep.
Awesome.
Dine till 1 a.m., amigos.
Awesome. Shut your mouth.
Corner of Fulton and Ventura.
I'm so going to go there.
David actually created...
Next Sunday.
David had created a new platter. He ordered so much stuff, it took three waiters to bring it out.
It's nice.
The three-waiter platter?
Yeah. It was a three-waiter platter.
Next time, could you just put it in a wheelbarrow, please?
All right. Well, welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Very excited to have you.
So we started off with... with Newell and Rosemary, with asking them how they got involved with Sort of Live. So let's start with that. How did you guys get thrown into
all
this?
All right. I got involved. Actually, Dell came to me when he first wrote the play and asked me to do one of the characters. And I actually... wasn't available at that time, so I couldn't do it. So it became a hit play, then a movie, and then when it came time to do the series, Bo Bridges was unable to do the role on the show, so Dell asked me to do it, and that's how I kind of came back into that fold. And I had worked with Dell since then on Trials and Tribulations of a Trailer Trash Housewife. Did y'all see that great show?
I didn't.
Oh, it was awesome. And so that's kind of how, you know, it came back to Sordid Lives. It was great.
Right on.
So basically, you missed the mark originally, though.
I did. For a different character, actually. It was the David character that Calgill played.
Okay.
And then he came in, and I'm glad I didn't do it because he did such a great job. Plus, I couldn't get that string thing going, man. It always turned into a spider web for me.
And I actually met Dell doing Cheatin' in the early 80s and just became close friends with him and stayed in touch ever since. And then as it turned out, I was supposed to be an understudy in the show, which I did. And then it turned into... more shows, and then I did the rest of the run, and then it became the national touring thing, and then it became a series, and so I kind of just jumped in on the end of it. So I was really the new guy on the block, and have just been very lucky and happy to take the ride. So it's been great.
Right on.
Yeah.
So you guys are just a bunch of good old boys, right?
Pretty much.
That's about about as down home as it gets.
I have to go back to this. Are y'all both from Texas?
Mm-mm.
You're Tennessee. Not from, you're Tennessee.
Memphis.
Okay,
Memphis and Texas. I'm from Texas.
You're from McAllen.
McAllen, right, Texas. And we're pretty much what you see is what right you get. We're real I'm pretty close to my character. I mean, I know my guy's real kind of dumb and dense kind of guy. I'm pretty much who I am. I'm not much above that. But the string tricks I had to learn, actually. The string tricks was a step up. So I had to really work on that. In fact, when I did the play, I wasn't supposed to start for like a month, you know, as the understudy. And then some things happened and Dell called me like on a Thursday and said, You're going on tomorrow. And I was like, I hadn't even learned the lines yet. I had just done the string tricks. So I literally, while I sat on stage, I had a book in front of me which said, you know, string tricks on it. And I sat that up, and my lines were written on the inside of that book. And so I had to, while I was doing my string tricks, I was acting like I was looking at the book and doing my string tricks, and I was really reading my lines because I hadn't memorized one single word yet. So... That's kind of how I started.
The consummate professional here. Yeah, exactly. I love it.
Well, you know, I mean, happens with theater sometimes. You don't know how it's going to go down.
That just pictures, I think, of like Roseanne Barr and her sister Jackie and where Roseanne's feeding her the lines in that episode. Like,
yeah. Well,
you know, in Texas, they do kind of hint, they discourage you from learning string tricks as a boy.
Oh, yes. And, most definitely, yes.
I somehow...
You sound Southern, by the way. Where are you from?
Out, now it's coming out really
where
bad.
Where are you from?
I'm from Dallas.
Are you?
Well, okay. North of Dallas.
Yeah,
so like
I can definitely
a tiny
hear
town.
It. Yeah, yeah.
So
wait, let's go back to this, though. Why I don't know...
It's a sissy thing to do.
I don't really know what a string trick is.
String tricks. You know,
it's like it's like if you had a shoelace, a continuous big long shoelace, and you do
string.
You know, the string tricks where you people
that I thought we were talking about the fucking guitar.
No. And you can do couples where people join in and they twist them and all that kind of stuff.
And they have names. What are the names?
Yeah,
witch's something.
Witch's hat, Jacob's ladder.
Titty head,
teacup, and you know, I mean, you actually make designs out of the string. So
I
never
now.
Did that as a boy.
I was a little gay boy, so
I would think you would know what these are. You know,
I was so confused. I was like, wait,
now
boys
I
can't play the guitar.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Anyway. I was the little sissy boy over in the corner playing with the strings and playing with the girls.
Yeah.
And then look at me now.
Yay.
And I was the opposite. And look at me now. Now I'm playing with strings. So.
Oh my goodness.
Sorry, I'm like, you'd be gayer than me. Anyway. So, what's going on? You both do a lot of voiceover. I know definitely from your resume, but is that what you're into too? Or?
No, I don't do any voiceovers, actually. Bobby, my wife, and I just relocated back to California from New York after 6 years in Manhattan.
Oh,
glad to be back.
Really?
Oh, we loved it there, but it was after a while, you know, it's a little bit 24/7 in your face all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, now that wasn't me. That was
Dina Martinez. That was shit off.
That was one of those buffet bites that he took. Holy mackerel.
Sorry.
But anyway, we're back.
Does it smell like burritos?
I don't have a button I can push in here if it's going to mute that or nothing.
He gets paid for doing those, y'all.
Actually, I do.
He did the Shrek burps and the Shrek farts in the movies.
Yeah.
That's a big claim to fame.
And in fact, I didn't mean to interrupt your story. I'm sorry.
Go for it.
In the original Shrek, they had, you know, the burping and stuff. And there was, I think, Princess Fiona did a big burp.
Yep.
And what's her name? Who did Princess Fiona?
Cameron Diaz,
thank you. Won the some award for the best burp. That was me. It was not Cameron Diaz. I'm saying it right here on your show. It was not Cameron Diaz. That was me.
So that was uncredited.
Yeah.
Nice.
She won an award. I didn't get an honorable mention. Nothing.
She didn't thank you?
Nothing. No.
Yeah.
You think.
We're anyway, in search
sorry.
Of
sorry
a support group right now for David.
Nice.
But so, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But anyway, so we're back and we're loving it. We're all with all of our friends in L.A. again. It's great. And all of our sordid friends. It's great to see Rosemary and Newell just now. So this just happened. So we're all good. And well, David and I are hanging out.
Welcome back to California.
Thank you. Good
welcome
to be here.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
Liking the weather, huh?
Loving the weather. I'll do it. There's nothing like snow in New York, though. It's 2 days of beauty, and then it's hell.
I can't imagine moving in the winter.
December the 16th. Pack the cat, the dog, the wifey up, and get on the wagon train.
Get in the truck.
Yeah. Get in the truck, bitch.
And you're like, fine, I will.
Come on. We're going to California.
I love it.
That was great.
Right on.
All right, we done?
No,
that's all.
I thought she had a question.
No, I was waiting for you. So you guys, you were involved with the Sordid Group before. You kind of just got in with the series.
Yeah, with the play at the end of the run and then the national touring where we went to a bunch of cities. I think Newell and Rosemary were talking about that earlier, mm-hmm. where we went to St. Louis and Nashville and
Atlanta.
Fort Lauderdale and Atlanta and all that stuff. And so I just was kind of along for the ride. And then from that, I guess, while that was going on, the series kind of, you know, came into fruition. And I was right there for that, too. So it was all timing.
Right.
So
on.
Very lucky, yeah.
What's your favorite part about doing the series? Like, what did you guys... There's got to be some crazy shit that went on.
Well, yeah. I was just going to say, just hanging with Steen, you know, I mean, I've known him a long time, and he actually knew my wife before I ever knew David, and then I kind of met him through her, and we kind of became friends, and it's just, I just had the greatest time. We were on the set, just, it was like friends hanging out, and then say, okay, action, and then we'd start rolling and shooting stuff. So, I mean, it was so much fun. It was so relaxed. You know, Dell was directing everything, so... He was very calm and smooth the way he ran it, and I just had a blast. It was one of the funnest shoots I've ever been on. We had a great time.
I can't imagine trying to go to sleep after you guys were done shooting every day.
Like,
your energy is so high, all the adrenaline. Like,
well, luckily we were staying at a riverboat, so we could gamble as late as we
wanted. The casino.
We were in Shreveport at the casino, so
nice.
Yeah, get some late nights.
And talks about gambling with Caroline.
Oh, they were bad. When I first got to town, I went to meet Caroline because she was going to be my wife, you know. And so I went walking around. And I said, well, where is Caroline? You know, and so then they walked me into the casino, and there she was sitting there with Ann and everybody. And big dough, you know, big dollar, $100 chips playing down. And I went, uh-oh. And we had fun, though. We had 3 weeks of it was nothing but fun. Yeah. It was really a lot of fun. And David and I enjoyed working together and with Newell. I mean, you know, when you can work with friends like that, it just makes it that much more special, you know. So
which is part of what I think made the show, you know, gave it the feel that it had, was that we were friends and family because we really were. So, mm-hmm. you know, you can't really, it's really hard to, you know, it's kind of contrived if you try to put that together. But for us, it was the real deal. And I think that's part of the attraction of it. So. Yeah.
It's probably also what made it so, just so touching, because people are crazy about the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, your fans, kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Sure. And so,
just like us.
And I'm just, first of all, when I first saw the movie, like back when I was a little kid, little boy back in Texas.
That makes me feel great.
I pretend a little bit better than I. But it really struck home with a bunch of people like me who grew up in a small town in Texas. How you guys have obviously been around a lot of like really arty and fruity kids. So
what you saying?
I'm just saying. So with that, when you first started delving into all this, was it something weird for you, or was it just something that you were like, oh, I know all these kids?
Are you asking them if they're homophobic?
I don't know. Yeah, no,
exactly.
I'm
just, exactly what
I'm
confused.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry. I'm not a good interviewer sometimes.
I was not even introduced to the movie until I was almost finished with college, and my boss brought it to me. He's like, why haven't you fucking watched this? And I watched it, and then I watched it again. It laughed so hard, and then I moved back to L.A., and we sat one day and watched the entire series, and I'm like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah,
it's just your fans are crazy.
Did you? Say,
I'm not
did you
crazy.
Say the F word?
We can. We're allowed to swear here.
We can.
Yeah.
I wish I'd been made aware of that before we came in. Oh, that's good.
Would you prefer I don't swear?
No, not at all. I'm saying.
Because you look like someone who likes to use
the word. All the way over here. He's like, I know where that effing place is. It's right next to that other effing place. That was last night.
Well, effing much. To answer your question, I never did any acting in high school. I did not have the acting bug until a little bit later in life. I was probably in my early 20s, and I decided to move to Los Angeles. So I never had that experience of what you're saying of being homophobic or whatever, because I was not involved in that. I was involved in sports. I was playing baseball and basketball and football. So until I moved out here in my early 20s, it was just what was. I mean, I grew up in a small town in Texas where we didn't have a lot of homosexuals running around. At least if they were, we didn't know about it because it was in the 70s.
I'm also from a really small town in Wisconsin.
Well, so you know what I'm talking about.
I just imagine like a deer running across the field. Oh, there's another game.
Oh, there's one. Oh, there's one. One of them.
Look, they keep dressing like deers.
In the 70s, it just wasn't accepted, obviously. So, but then, I'd always heard about California and so forth. And when I came out here, but it was no big deal. And I really have not been inundated until we did this show. We're everywhere we go on the road, our houses, when we went to Atlanta or we went to Florida, whatever, 99% gay and, three women. And I have a house of 1,500 people. So, to me, it was not a big deal. It was just really not a big deal. And being friends with Dell and obviously that crowd and stuff, you get used to it. So, believe me, I'm not homophobic whatsoever, and I'm at this point.
Clearly,
that was
not.
Your question.
I wasn't expecting that you would be homophobic, but I mean,
and me right here, I'm like, Jesus. When you said house, I wasn't thinking about theater. I was like, why are they going into people's houses?
Theater house.
Yes, completely. I realize. Yeah.
I'm somehow you're sitting in a room with a transsexual and a big old homo. I don't think that you're homophobic.
So what are you two working on right now? Like, what's going on besides moving back to California? Anything that you need to promote or want to gab about? Or talk shit about or something?
Yeah, I just did a movie called Disrupt Dismantle. It's going to be at the Beverly Hills Film Festival. We're going to Vail Film Festival. Houston Film Festival, Newport Beach, in April. Only in April. It's a new film. It's a great, great little indie. I'm excited about. So I'm doing that, and then I'm writing a new play. And I'm going to do a reading of that in May here in town. So I'm just, I'm a writer too. So I've been doing, some of that stuff, and then David's doing a reading of Dell's new play coming up. Tell him about that, Bubba.
Next Sunday. I have no idea what it's about.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
I have no clue what it's about.
Cool.
It's
cool.
Get out the string tricks book.
It's not. I don't think so.
He said it's different.
It's completely different than anything he's done. I mean, the last play that he did, The Trials and Tribulations of a Trailer Trash Housewife, was another kind of a step away. It was, with Beth Grant, Dale Dickey.
It was dark. That was
Octavia.
Kind of dark.
It was very dark. It was, I got booed every night. I was the only guy in the play, and I got booed every night when I came out for curtain call. It was great. Nice. But it won, I think 30 awards that year. It was amazing. I mean, and this is going to be Dell's new play coming out, and it's another kind of a different step beyond, and I'm really excited for him. He's a great writer, and I'm glad he's really going for a lot of different really type of stuff. This is going to be cool. David's going to be great in it. I can't wait to see it.
Right on.
Boom. I can't wait to find out about it.
Yeah, well, I'll clue you in there. I don't think he wants you to know. I think he wants you to be fresh.
That's good. I've got a couple things I can plug. I do the voice of Slam and Sammy on Friday Night Lights. I don't know if you watch that show. It's the Texas football show. It was NBC, and then DirecTV picked it up for a while. But I do Slam and Sammy, and I've been doing that for the last 3 years. And we're coming back for the fifth season, I guess, in the next couple of months. And then I also did a film with a buddy of mine named John Putch called Route 30. So if you ever get a chance to see that, it's a great little independent film that we filmed. It's been 2 years ago now in Pennsylvania, and we're doing part two. We leave this October again to shoot that, and it's about fables and myths in the rural Pennsylvania Gettysburg area. It's really good.
Oh, interesting.
Route30.com.
Route30.com.
Yes.
And are you doing the burps and the farts of Fiona in the next Shrek movie?
I did them in part two, and I worked on part three as well. And I don't know if there's a part four coming out. I don't know. I don't know.
I thought I just saw, actually.
I thought I saw something, yeah.
Yeah.
So
they haven't notified you yet.
Unless
so.
They're not doing, maybe they're getting away from the burps and farts this year.
They may not unless you're burping and farting. Yeah.
Well, it's good to know skills. You're not getting away from them, David. I mean, you were
never.
He was tuning up on the way over here.
I'm feeling better right now.
Yeah, yeah, I'll do it. Right okay, good.
If better. You were listening earlier, he has an audition right here on our show for you.
Yes. Bing, bing, bing.
Oh my God. Y'all are too much.
So we were talking about. I'm interested to hear what you guys think about this. We were talking about Tiger Woods earlier and the whole taking up my time on Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that? His apology?
You know, I didn't see it.
I didn't see the actual apology either, but I've been following it. And you know, I think, who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who fucking cares? I mean, really.
You got to say F word.
Yeah, I did. I'm so glad.
Yay.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I it's like, okay, so he had affairs. He apologized for it. Move on. It's like, you know, yeah. Who hasn't done that? And if they have and they're in the public eye, well, I haven't either. Let me raise my hand. I haven't either. Yeah. I don't want to act like we've all done it.
Ladies, I'm saying, your husbands are faithful.
There are so many.
I'm nodding.
So many of those celebrities like Tiger Woods have done that. You just go, you know what? Okay, so he apologized. He's a man. He's a golfer. That's it. Move on. Who gives a shit?
I'm just. It's just funny that our entire world stopped.
Unbelievable.
You know?
That's,
just like
that's
O.J.
where we
Simpson,
are.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Our world
yeah,
stopped.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, who hasn't killed their wife either?
Right.
I mean, well, that is another.
Come on.
That's a little different. Yeah, you know. It's a little,
yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I think this the media right now is so bloodthirsty for things like that. They go nuts and it gets ravenous.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for the guy, but hey, you know, he did what he did. Let's move on.
It just seems stupid to me.
Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about something else then. Moving back, what was the first thing? Where was the first place that you ate? Where were you craving when you got back to L.A.?
Oh, wow.
Because I know on those cold nights
you know,
in New York, you got to be like, fucking, I want
such,
the counter.
New York has such great restaurants.
Yeah,
how could you?
David, still.
Yeah, David and Jackie were in town about a year ago. They came to New York for a few days, and we went out to one really
awesome.
Great restaurant. And then they ran to a show real quick. It was fun. But coming back, I mean, New York is so saturated with unbelievable restaurants.
Yeah.
And you just walk out your door and you're there and it's just great. So where have we been? We went to Mastro's the other night. That was great. Which is a good steakhouse here. You know, we had a lot of fun there. And then, but seriously, going to Casa Vega, that's an old haunt of mine. You know, back in the old day, David and I were just talking about it. You know, back in the old days when we used to go hang out in the afternoon, you know, and do a couple of shots.
Get drunk in the afternoon.
Get drunk in the afternoon.
I'm sobering up. So, I was expecting, like, I had to go to In-N-Out right away.
I swear to God, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, if I had to leave and come back, that would be the place I would miss the most. I think it's In-N-Out.
Yeah. No, I didn't. No, I wanted to. You can't get beers and shots there. So.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
But you can drink beer at Denny's now.
Oh, no.
Can you really?
Are you serious?
They serve beer.
A grand slam and a tall boy.
There you go.
Boy.
You sent me a text or an email the other day saying you're heading off to Denny's.
I sent him a bad email. Oh, God.
Bad? Like, was it badly written? Or
yeah. Well, he was railing on me.
Stupid fucker.
Yeah. He was railing me. He goes, hey, douchebag, you didn't tell me you were moving back to town. How are you going to do this radio show? And then I had to remind him. I actually did call him and tell him, but I think it was one of those times we were just trying to remember. It was one of those late nights in New York and an early night for him when we were both, you know, what is it called? You beer talking on the phone or something, you know, when you're
yada, 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 yada.
The next day you go, did I? You go back to your phone to make sure you talk to somebody or not.
And but, old age, too.
Yeah, old age.
Just realizing how.
But he was railing on me because he said, I didn't know you were back. And I said, well, I am back. And I'm glad to be back.
I'm back, Beat asshole. We're
yeah,
going to,
yeah.
We're
bring going your to string. We're going to do some string drinks over there in Casablanca. God damn it. God damn it.
Hey, have y'all seen Crazy Heart?
No, but
Jeff
I
Bridges'
was
new with, movie?
Jeff with, and Maggie Gyllenhaal. Yeah, oh, I was just reading gosh. About it today because there was...
Just saw it this afternoon.
There, in the New York Times, there's awesome. Pictures of him today.
Awesome. Awesome. You got, especially being from Texas, you'll love it. He's great in it.
Right. He's nominated, right?
Yeah. He's going, I think he's going to pump it out this year.
Right on.
Yeah, he's great in this.
What part of Dallas are you from?
I'm from north of Dallas, a little town called Salina.
Oh, Salina.
No, but I lived in Denton for
Did
a while.
You? Mm-hmm. My mom lives in McKinney.
Yeah,
right
where,
in the area.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my area.
Yeah.
All my friends were in McKinney, and I didn't really care for anybody in my hometown at the time. And
where the hell's Marfa?
And that was the big town. Who?
Marfa. I think it's like West Texas.
Where or who is Marfa?
I'm all its way out in the
That's
middle.
That's one of my lines, Del. Marfa yeah. to here, to Marfa to there.
It's called a map. If you open it up.
Well, Jeff Bridges said Marfa today, too, and I was like going, well, Marfa must be something.
I think it's a little shithole. I don't think it's anything.
I don't even think they have a football team there.
Mm-mm. You're kidding. Well, they can't be in Texas then.
I know, right?
That's insane.
You know, the funniest... Texas has the funniest... Well, I'm sure Tennessee has pretty funny names, too. But Cut and Shoot?
Cut and Shoot's good.
Texas?
Yeah.
Texas?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I know Cut and Shoot. I've heard of that.
There's some funny names.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Wisconsin. We're the king of funny names. Waukesha.
Yeah, y'all got those Marabou. Indians. Yeah.
No, but Cut and Shoot.
Cut and Shoot's good.
Let's name a town. What are we doing today? Oh, I'm going to cut some wood, and I think I might shoot a deer.
Yeah.
Cut and Shoot.
Cut.
Good name for a town.
Where is it?
It's near Houston, on the way down by Beaumont. Houston. Anyway. Wow, this is exciting right now. Let's talk about names of towns. Well, it's awesome to have you guys in.
Good Glad to be here.
I really Glad got to Texas, be here. Didn't I?
Thank you guys for coming in. When she starts talking about Texas, I kind of just zone out.
Like, I get all excited. Dear. I'm like, somebody from Texas, yay. Because there are a lot of Texans out here.
There are, yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and,
a bunch. In fact, when I first moved out here, there's a lot of people from McAllen, which is where I grew up, which was, when I lived there, it was like 30,000 people. I think there's a lot more now. But
Wait, that's a small town to you?
30,000?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Hey. Oh, yeah. What you're saying in Michigan or where is it? Wisconsin?
My hometown's 400 people.
Oh,
so.
God. No way, yeah. Really?
And I thought...
That's where the gays running across the field.
Yeah, yeah. All yours went down.
Cut and anyway, shoot. Continue. I'm
Cut
sorry.
Shoot. Cut and shoot, quick. Get him, there you go. Get him. Cut him off over there.
Bubba, you missed.
What was I saying?
Ooh, Lord.
I just had a senior moment.
Something about friends or people from your hometown, McAllen.
There were a lot of people from McAllen.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. When I first
migrating
moved down here.
To
See,
live by
that's
you.
That's what we were just talking about earlier. I can't remember shit. Anymore.
Migrating to live by
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Well, in fact, when I first moved out here in the early 80s, there was a group that used to get together called the McAllen Mafia, and it was obviously a joke, but it was just people from McAllen. I was shocked at how many people were out here just from McAllen, not let alone Texas. I mean, there was right. people all over the place from Texas. And Catherine Hardwick, director, she did, what was the skating movie with all the boys? It's a big skating movie a couple of years ago. She's done a lot of stuff. Started
Mighty
out.
Mighty Ducks?
What was it? No, no.
I don't
no.
know.
You mean skateboard movie.
Yeah. It was called, crap.
Cut and Shoot.
It's called Cut and Shoot Skateboard, the movie.
Now, let me ask
Catherine Hardwick, big director from McAllen, who's out here as well. So a lot of Texans.
Let me ask you quick, David. Was everybody like in the business?
They did the thing? Yes, it was writers and directors and actors and stuff from McAllen specifically, but then also from all over Texas. But I was shocked at how many people were out here from Texas and how many Texas license plates I saw.
Exactly. I just want to have a big old queso party.
We have a Big Ten run, not run, literally. Mm-hmm. It's a Big Ten pub crawl that University of Wisconsin-Madison is sponsored. It's once a year, and they start in, I want to say, in Venice, and they go all the way down to Redondo and hit bars all the way along PCH.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll do that.
Wow, I'll do that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we come in
That's
on that?
The Wisconsin people for you.
That's the Wisconsin people.
We'll come in on that.
Where is Wisconsin? Where is that?
It would be north of Canada.
North of Alberta?
Yes.
Okay. It's on the North Pole, I think.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that state.
Wisconsin's beautiful, actually.
It is. Full of lakes. It's gorgeous, yeah.
And deers.
And deer. And prancing gays.
It's great in the winter.
They hibernate.
Yes.
Well, awesome. Once again, thank you guys for coming in.
Are we done?
We don't have to be. Like, if you have something else you want to talk about, this is your moment. If not,
how late do you guys go?
We go for another
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
What do you do? Do you wrap up and talk about us when we're not here?
Yeah, we were about to talk about
you. Would you like to talk about yourself?
Not really.
Okay.
Those David guys, I don't know. I like that. I like that one David, but the other David I didn't like, you know.
Yeah. No, I'm good.
I'm good.
You good?
Yeah.
You
I gotta say though, your preparation and coming in.
Yeah.
You were like, he's gonna need 40 minutes.
We can bullshit for a long time if you want, but I'm, you know,
you've got it. Like, the opportunity is there to bullshit. What do you want to bullshit about?
Let's see.
I feel like I'm in the room with two of my uncles. Yeah. <All right. laughs>
Yeah, that's good.
Except they haven't seen me with makeup on.
Who, your uncle?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
What else, Dave? What else you got going on, brother?
Okay. Well, then.
The gauntlet has been thrown.
No, so, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Should we go to a song?
Yeah.
I'm thinking a song might be in,
I think might be in order right now. Idea.
We're going to do show tunes or something?
Yes.
Well, you know what, though? Those two did sing for us.
I heard
they
that.
Did.
I heard, yeah. No, I don't know if that's going to happen. Dave, you got something to sing?
A little God Will Fuck You Up Him.
They did. What was the one they did? It was the
God Will Fuck You Up.
Yeah, that's cute. That's a fun little song.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
Okay,
like that.
Well, then we're going to go to a song off that there thing called the computer.
I do have a sordid secret, though.
Do you tell me?
Okay. Yeah. When Dave and I were in Shreveport.
See how old it is?
I thought it was Charleston, Shreveport. When Dave and I were in Shreveport, he, you know.
What are you going to say?
This has been elderly hour.
Yeah. he kept coming up to my room at night after we'd get back, and I'd hear this. I'd go, yeah, who is it? He goes, it's Calgary. I said, yeah. He goes, you want to run those Peggy Bitsy Macy's? I said, why do we need to run those? He goes, I just thought it'd be fun to run those scenes. So that's all I had to say. I had to double lock my door. I'll put it that way. I had to move to another floor.
I do have to say, if you would have chopped up my friend like you chopped up her friend on that show, I would have been very unhappy.
Well,
all I can picture is Caroline Ray screaming, I can't shoot you if you're bobbing and weaving.
I know. Quit zigzagging, zigzagging. Shot my ear off. That's what I can't wait to see when we come back for the new season. How they're going to flip my ear off, because she shot me good.
Is there more talk of the new season, or?
Well, we've been talking about it.
Okay,
you know, I don't know.
About it a lot,
I mean,
yeah.
we everybody'd love to come back. It's a, you know, it's a great cast. It's a good family, and just working with Dell is so much fun. I mean, I've never seen a guy enjoy his self so much in a director's and writer's chair. He's a great audience for us, you know, and he's so enthusiastic, and we just had a great time. I'm hoping we come back, you know. I mean, I think
so.
It'd be a lot of fun.
I hope so.
You know, everybody wants to come back.
You never know what happens, you know, behind the scenes as far as production goes. There's some things that went on, so we don't know. But everybody who was part of it just loved it and would love to come back. So hopefully we've got a fan base that would support that, and we're trying to keep that alive. Mm-hmm. But who knows?
And everybody wants to know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of things, but
I know
can't
a couple
tell.
Things, too. Yeah.
I can't tell
I know
them
a couple
all.
Things.
You tell them one, I'll tell them one.
Okay.
No.
Ooh. I can tell one.
All right, tell one.
And I can't tell.
I hate it when straight men keep me in suspense.
No, I got one where I'm my character comes back to my job that I had before, which is a postman. And no, that was never revealed in the first show, because all I did really was sit there. I didn't have that many lines. I sat there and played the string tricks. but I go back to work. I was off work for, as a postal worker because I'd been attacked by a dog, and that will be revealed in the next season that I now have a new doctor, and I can't. He won't sign my release so that I can just sit at the bar and drink. Now I have to go back to work. So my brother, who is Newell, sets it up so that I'll be attacked by a dog again, so that I get actually attacked on the job, so that I can go back to
That hit the spot.
That was a good one.
That hit the spot, too.
That's a good one. Well, then I can give you one little snippet about GW. In the second season, GW comes in, and he actually has a hedge clipper accident, and now he's known as Three Wooden Legs. So it's tough, and we'll see how Peggy puts up with that.
You know. I can't handle his wooden kickstand.
What are we gonna do about them legs?
And one last little teaser: Ann Walker and I possibly could have something.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Ann needs it.
Yeah, she does. Not Ann. We shouldn't say Ann. Her
well,
character.
Well, LaFonda.
LaVonda. LaVonda. Yeah. Ann okay. does not.
He makes
LaVonda
her.
Might.
Well, listen to the last show Ann was
Ann
on.
Ann kind of does.
Ann asked the psychic okay. when she was going to get laid.
I think what happens
and she
is.
She and I are in the same boat on
yeah,
that one.
Okay. I think what happens is she comes in the bar and you actually make her a string bikini.
Tina's like, that? I want to see that string.
I know, right?
I like it.
Well, thank you two so much
awesome.
For coming in and
yep,
taking time out
welcome.
Of your Casa Vega night.
Busy, busy schedule.
Yep.
And would you like to introduce the song?
I would like to introduce the song. It is by Kelly Mantle, Satellite Generation.
Shadowed by my complexities, I'm rambling around like a tattered paper doll, dressed in my androgyny. Is he a she or is she a he? Why won't you let me keep my mystery?
That was Satellite Generation by Kelly Mantle. Bringing it down, bringing it down.
Well, thank you, David, Newell, and Rosemary for coming in.
Yes, thank you guys so much. And we will be getting Del Shores in. And we want to say thanks for helping us out with that. And I'm really excited about anything that may be coming up from him.
What are you doing?
I just got real.
So, okay, I want to talk about what's been going on with Betty White, because I know we briefly talked about it. We briefly talked about, but this has gotten so them. I'm a fan of it too, so I shouldn't say them. But trying to get her to host Saturday Night Live, 400,000 followers is where she's at, fans on Facebook, and to the point where Diane Sawyer even had an interview with her to talk about it. And if you haven't seen the commercial, because I didn't see it until a couple of days ago, and you just saw it.
I just saw that
the
today.
Super Bowl commercial. Hilarious. I'll post it on Took
what
Potter.
Was it again?
Hilarious. I'll post it on TookPotter.com.
Right on.
T-O-O-K. Potter.
And, you know, one of these days, we're going to get a new website, and I will post up new things, too, on DinaAndGregShow.com. But it's there. It's
just, you can look at what we used to do, what we do.
What we've done. Wah, wah, wah.
So,
so, yeah, that was the funniest commercial, and...
What?
I'm still on drugs, you guys.
Okay, I'm going to just keep going then. Elton John did an interview with Parade Magazine, and Aunt Elton talks about his previous drug use, how love has fit into his life, and fame has lost its appeal, which is interesting, because you and I have had many conversations about how, like, being famous doesn't... You know, everyone talks about it. It's,
yeah.
You can pop your coochie and you're famous, you know, and there's still the
I've
true
been popping
famous.
My coochie and nobody's made me famous yet.
So, but he also said the religious right is going to have a field day with him because he said that Jesus is gay. And I mean, we've all joked about it, but he came out and really said it and, you know.
And did he mean it?
I think so.
Is he a little
I'm
crazy?
I'm trying to find this exact quote, but I can't. Anyway, but you know, he was walking around with a bunch of men in the desert. And
yeah.
Mary Magdalene, she's just a big fag hag. I'm kidding. Well, kind of. I'm going to get sued.
Wow. You're going to get sued from Jesus. Jesus is going to sue you.
Or get beheaded or torches.
By
Not by Jesus, by the religious right.
The Sanhedrin.
Continue. You are hilarious.
I'm really still drugged up, and my face is starting to get sore from laughing and smiling, and they're probably thinking, that tranny has a very large face.
Well, since you're still drugged up, then I'm going to continue. France has now, is the first country to declassify transgenderism as a mental illness. We have a long way to go, but with the World Health Organization and the American Psychiatric Association, but, you know, leaps and bounds.
Why do you think I want to be in France? I love France. I can't wait to move to France.
You just think just because bad people aren't going to think that you're mentally ill? Girl, it's not because you're transgender.
You're a bitch. Yeah. So anyway, my long stint with the television this weekend also brought me to a couple of things that I'm very excited about. First of all, the new season of...
You look so serious right now.
Well, because I'm trying not to smile and my face hurts. The new series, season of Secret Diaries of a Call Girl. Have you seen it yet?
No,
I'm so disappointed that
I started reading
it.
The book and I wasn't that intrigued by it.
So watch the TV series because... Okay, Billie Piper, I love her. I've heard bad things about her on set. I heard she was a total bitch and very, you know, whatever. But, you know, whatever. She's really good in this show. And it's a really good season. I'm really excited. Is anybody else watching it? Why is nobody answering me?
What else did you watch?
Well, I didn't watch it, but I saw that... There's going to be a new season of United States of Terror.
Finally. Oh, my God.
Starting March.
I just perked up.
Somewhere in
I
March.
I perked up and said hello.
I'm so excited. I can't even stand it. Because first of all, stop laughing at me because I hurt her. No,
I'm not laughing at you because you hurt. Continue.
I feel like we're in a script already. I will continue. I'm going to continue right now. Toni Collette's one of my favorite actresses ever, and that was really a brilliant thing. But in the it looks like there's going to be a new altar that comes out that we get to see.
Well, we kind of saw that at the end of the
yeah, but
season.
A different altar, like a different other altar that we don't even know about. So
fantastic!
I'm very excited. I want to see all the altars.
She's going to turn into Sybil completely.
I know, totally.
Well, my celebrity friend who I always run into at the most peculiar places. David Spade had an article today on how on the New York Times how he's happily sold on selling out. yeah, you sell out. And it says in the article how he respects that he has to get up at 8 a.m. because he feels guilty if he oversleeps. And he's 40 now and he has to go to bed at night. And bitch, the last time I saw you, it was 3 a.m. and it was at IHOP in Leo.
At IHOP and WeHo.
If you would like to talk your story, you know, find us when you're going for your fourth trip of the week to Cheesecake Factory in the Grove, and then you can come on the show. He's such a sweetheart. He really is.
He really is.
But somehow he gets the hottest women. He really does. And it.
I don't want a hot woman.
What?
I don't want a hot woman.
Well, sometimes he looks like a hot woman. Anyway, no, I love David. It's just funny to hear him try and say that, you know, maybe he's trying to grow old
gracefully.
Maybe
that was one night, you know, because I don't go out that often. And everybody thinks I'm a tranny granny. And I get it. But Thursday night, I went out and...
We had a good time. It was lesbians everywhere, but we ended up
Were there lesbians everywhere?
Yeah, because we walked in 11 and there was lesbians.
Oh.
Here there were lesbians.
I'm just used to being around a lot of lesbians, so I don't ever think about
where do we end up
the
Abbey,
speaking
right?
of which, next week, DJ Leslie and Asha are coming in. They have a new night in West Hollywood, so we're going to talk to them about it. Very excited.
And start emailing us at info@dinaandgregshow.com. And tell us your love stories. You're fucked up.
Crazy.
We want to talk about this next week because Kalila, when she called us talking about her sneaking up the fire escape to see her sleeping boyfriend for Valentine's Day, that got us thinking, we want to hear people's dirt.
We want to hear...
Because I'll share, but I'm not sharing unless you share.
We want to hear crazy love stories. Crazy love stories. So get your stories ready. Email us, call us, Facebook us, because we want to know your crazy love stories.
And you can hear how technology is fucking up my relationship with someone that I can't even get to.
And yes, I'm sure I will come up with something. I will make up a story for you.
And in this story, she won't be crying.
Mm-mm.
I didn't mean for that to be harsh. I'm sorry.
I was laughing.
Oh, I thought it was a cry.
Wait, no. Oh my God. Is this show almost over?
I don't know. Is it?
Yep.
Let's go for another hour.
Okay.
So.
We have a minute and a half. Yay. So, really excited about next week's show. Really excited to have you guys talk about your crazy shit.
The following weekend is Amazing Chase Catalina. It's been morphed a little bit, but there are still spots. So if you want, Facebook me, email me,
also,
send me a carrier pigeon.
That next show, it's the 7th of March, is going to be your birthday show.
Yes, I was like, I was confused. I'm like, what are you going after?
So we'll be on for 2 hours celebrating the birth of the day that she was birthed.
The day she was birthed. Maybe we'll interview new boyfriends.
Maybe, well, you know, potential boyfriends.
Maybe,
yeah?
That could be fun.
And hopefully I'll have a surprise for you.
I'm 30 now. Oh, that scares me. And I think a couple friends are coming in the studio. Alyssa's going to... Yeah.
Oh, are
they? It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a round robin of crazy people.
Because I'm hoping to have a big surprise for you, but we'll see.
Oh. Ooh. Is it in a bow?
It might...
Is he in a bow?
Wouldn't necessarily go with a he. It's not verified yet, so I'm not saying anything.
Miss Ann Walker's going to come in and say hi?
It might be a very fun, exciting show for you.
Oh, my God. I'm scared.
We're hoping. I'm just waiting for the final details.
People are so bored by us
I know, but what if it gets whatever?
So, okay, and
we love you guys.
To the popular kids, if we start stalking you this weekend, just send us a drink back.
And we want to say thank you guys for listening to the Dina and Greg Show. I'm Dina Martinez.
I'm Greg Potter.
And have a good week.
Yay. Bye.
You're listening to the Dina and Greg Show with Dina Martinez and Greg Potter, only on LA Talk Radio.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.